Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that you've given to Josh and for the message that you've spoken to his heart. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will communicate that to us and through us. And Lord, that your Spirit can work in our hearts and change our hearts and help us to find our joy and our purpose in you and in you alone. And bless your word now to us. And bless Josh as he shares. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning to each one of you. It's good to have each one of you here, even though we're not real full this morning. But that's okay. Appreciated that last song, the last phrase of the last song that we sang, can people see Christ in us? Is that what people see? Or do they see the Spirit of Christ living in us? And also, I wanted to say on the devotional, in that psalm, David, and in a lot of the psalm, David, you can see David's self-evaluation in his psalms and what he, how he asked the Lord questions and his communication with God and his open spirit. And I pray that we as a people can evaluate our own lives at different times in our lives. I know there's men that take a day or two and go, you know, by themselves to maybe do some evaluation or to seek God. And a number of years ago, I thought that was kind of silly, but now I can see a great value in doing something like that. I also want to say I appreciate if you guys would continue to pray for us as a leadership team as we continue to make decisions on our services that we have and maybe what the right thing is to do. And it's not easy making those decisions. And I trust that you guys will pray for us, pray that God would allow us to make the right decisions and know what the right thing is to do during this time. As I considered what to preach on this morning, I felt I did struggle a little bit knowing what God really wanted me to preach on. And after a bit, I did feel like God led me in the direction to one of the fruits of the Spirit. I don't think it's been that long ago that somebody has preached on the fruits of the Spirit, but this has been something that I have been struggling with in my own life recently, and I just wanted God to show me why has it been a struggle for me. And so I pray that God will use this message to speak into your life too. And maybe you have struggles at times with the same thing. And I pray that God can inspire you like he has inspired me in preparing and studying for this message. How many of the fruits of the Spirit can we come up with? Maybe I'll start with the children. Children, do you guys, can you give me the fruits of the Spirit? Do you guys know what they are? I know what it's not. It's not a coconut, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Okay. Love. Okay. Let's make it easy and go in order. Okay. Love, peace.
Joy.
Yep. What else?
Patience.
Okay. These might be synonyms, but in my list here, I don't think patience is in here. Kindness is not. In my list here in the King James Version, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so these are all things of, as Christians, we need to have in our lives. Fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit living within us. In our world, with what all is happening, with what all is transpiring, with the virus and all the division and the rioting and the hatred and the just the divisiveness that's going on, and that we read on the news, so at times things look pretty hopeless. But as Christians, I believe the Bible teaches us how we ought to be and how we ought to feel regardless of what's going on. I believe that if we have the Spirit living inside of us, these fruits will come out of our lives. The fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Before I forget to turn this on out, turn it on. So is that what's coming out in your life? Is that what, I know at church we can kind of see, you know, people, we can see their lives here at church, but what about behind the closed curtain of your homes these days and some of the, maybe the lonely times, the darker times, what are your feelings then? And my question is, can we be honest about that this morning? Can we talk about maybe the times that we maybe don't feel very Christian? So what is flowing out of your life during these days, during these controversial days? Even more importantly, what is the source of what is flowing out of your life? What is the source of that? The title for my message this morning is From Whence Cometh Your Joy. And I don't even know if some of them words are words, but I made them up if they're not. So hopefully you can understand them. From whence cometh your joy? What is the source of your joy this morning? And that's what I would like to look at this morning is the fruit of the Spirit, joy. And again, this message really comes out of how I've been feeling about life lately. Honestly, I haven't done very well with joy in my life. And I had to figure out, you know, why? Why ain't I joyful? I have plenty to be joyful about. But if there isn't any joy flowing from my life, where is the Spirit that's supposed to be within me? If my joy turns on or off, if we can turn our joy on or off depending on the circumstances, then from whence cometh our joy? From whence cometh our joy? I was reading a book about Anabaptist history, and the joy that they had even in the midst of their brutal persecution, and I was inspired. And I just want to read... I think I brought the book up here. Thought I did. There it is. I wanted to read just a paragraph or two. Talks about the Anabaptists and where they received their joy, even in the midst of their persecution, in the midst of their trials. It says this: they had drunk of the waters which had flowed from God's sanctuary, yea, the water of life. They realized that God helped them to bear the cross and to overcome the bitterness of death. The fire of God burned within them. Their tent they had pitched not here upon earth, but in eternity. And of their faith they had a foundation of assurance. They had a foundation and assurance. Their faith blossomed like a lily, their loyalty as a rose. their piety and sincerity as the flower of the garden of God. The angel of the Lord battled for them, that they could not be deprived of the helmet of salvation. Therefore, they bore all torture and agony without fear. The things of this world they counted in their holy mind only as shadows, having the assurance of greater things. They were so drawn unto God that they knew nothing, they sought nothing, they desired nothing, loved nothing but God alone. Therefore, they had more patience in their suffering than their enemies in tormenting them. The persecutors thought they could dampen and extinguish the fire of God, but the prisoners sang in their prisons and rejoiced, so that the enemies outside became much more fearful than the prisoners and did not know what to do with them. These early Anabaptists had a passion in their lives. They had a passion for God. They were on fire. Their source of their joy was found, I believe, in the right place. And they desired nothing more than their to know God personally. They desired nothing else. And there's no doubt as to where their early Anabaptist joy came from. It wasn't dependent on things. It wasn't dependent on financial status, or whether it was raining or whether the sun was shining, whether it was hot and humid or whether it was cold. Their heart burned within them. Their heart burned for God. First of all, I'd like to look at what joy is. What would be some synonyms of joy? I'll ask for a response. What are some synonyms of joy? Someone. The sooner you talk, the sooner we can get out of here before it gets too hot. The synonyms of joy. Max. Happiness. Good. It's a really good one. Someone else. Okay, contentment. Gladness, yes, very good. Yep, those are ones that I didn't think of. In our scripture here this morning, where we're going to be reading from, it talks about rejoicing. Rejoicing is a verb, and joy is a noun, I believe. but they're very close to the same meaning. And we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between happiness and joy are very similar, but yet they're different in a way. happiness is, and I looked it up in the dictionary, happiness is that feeling. Happiness is a feeling. It's very surface. That comes over you when we know that life is good and we can't help but smile or be happy. That's what happiness is. It's a feeling. The dictionary says that joy is the emotion. So instead of a feeling, it's the emotion. To me, it would be a deeper sense. It's a deeper sense of great delight or great happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. So happiness is what happens around you with your circumstances, and joy is what happens deep inside our spirit, deep inside of us. So with that in mind, Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 says this: "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice." There's that word, rejoice. "Joy in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." So at first glance, when we read that scripture, what really is there to be joyful about in that? The good or satisfying thing here is not people hating us. It's not people excluding us or making fun of us. The satisfying thing of this is the joy. The joy of this is the great reward that we have in heaven. And James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Count it all joy when falling into various trials. What joy can be found in that? It's what the trials produce is where we can find our joy. It's what the trials produce in us, the growing that we gain from the trials, is where we experience the joy. So, joy in Jesus. You can turn to Philippians chapter 3. That's going to be our text here this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is the biblical book that most extensively defines and describes what joy is. It's called the Book of Joy in some instances, and it mentions the two words joy and rejoice. In the short book of Philippians, it mentions either one of those two words 16 times. 16 times it talks about joy. And where was Paul at when he wrote this book? Why was Paul so joyful? Was he on vacation on an island? Paul was in prison. He was sitting shackled up. And he was writing about joy. So we'll read this time. Philippians 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul here is a great example for us as believers. Again, he was sitting in a jail cell, shackled up with chains. But his joy was not in where he was at the time. His joy was in Christ. And we can pretty quickly take our eyes off of Christ. Here in this life, we can pretty quickly take our eyes off of Christ and look, as Peter did, look around us, look at the choppy waters, look at the things that are happening around us. And it can take our focus and our attention off of Christ. And we can lose our joy quickly. How many of us have been guilty of taking our eyes off of Jesus in these last couple of months? That is why life has gotten, I believe that's why life has gotten pretty discouraging for me, because I have not been putting my joy in the right place. So the first thing here in Philippians in chapter 3 is, the first thing he tells them is, rejoice in the Lord. Joy in the Lord. For the Apostle Paul, the Lord there, it regularly means, when he refers to the Lord, it regularly means the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it look like to put our joy in Jesus? What does that look like? First, we count all other things as lost. All other things are as loss. Philippians 3:8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The second thing is that I may know him. In order to have joy in him, we need to know him. So we count all other things as lost, and that we may know him. That we may have a personal relationship with him. We look for joy in a lot of different places. I do. Look for joy in a lot of different places. And we need to recognize, as Paul did, that the only place we will find lasting joy is in the person of Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and knowing him. And his resurrection. In verse 10 it says, we're not going to spend a lot of time in the first part of this chapter. It talks about Paul and his, if anybody should be counted as faithful in works, it should be him, because he lived the Jewish life to a T, and that did not bring him joy. We're going to be focusing on the last part of the chapter, starting in verse 13. Joy comes from when we set our eyes on our goal. When we set our eyes on the goal. When we understand what Christ has in store for us, we can set our minds on those things. In verse 13, Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Count here in the Greek means evaluate or assess. So Paul evaluated his own life. Paul took the time to examine his life, and I talked about that a little bit earlier to start. To take time to examine our life. When was the last time you examined your life? Took some time to examine your life. Socrates said this, the unexamined life is not worth living. Yet, few people sit down to weigh seriously the values that control our decisions and directions. Many people today are the slaves of things, and as a result, do not experience real Christian joy. When was the last time you or I took the time to evaluate our lives? To see how we're doing in the light of what God has planned for us? When we understand the plan that God has for us, and we understand that plan that brings joy. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And then lastly, joy comes when we know, when we understand where our citizenship is. Where is our citizenship? Where is it? Is it here on earth? Or is our citizenship in heaven and we're just here? Paul says to walk as I have walked. Use my life as a pattern, it says. And I don't believe that Paul was bragging here. But Paul knew that, I believe that Paul knew and he understood the source of his joy. He knew where his joy came from. Then Paul says with emotion, in verse, I don't have the verse notated here, but it said, Paul says with emotion, weeping, it says. He was weeping, he was crying. He says that there are many who are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are many whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and those who set their mind on earthly things. There are many. Do I fit in that category? And I know too often I do. This is a picture of selfish living and an attitude of self-elevation. It's getting the J-O-Y mixed up. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. It's myself first, Jesus and others last. The good news is that we can eagerly look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We can look forward to that time. That's where our source of joy needs to come from. So in closing, is there joy in your life? Is there joy in my life? With what's all going around us, have you found joy? It's pretty easy to focus on the here and now and to determine our emotions on how we are feeling. It's pretty easy to focus on our here and now. So the first question is there joy in your life? Number two, if you said yes, there is joy in your life, from whence cometh your joy? Where is it coming from? Does your joy come from your financial socioeconomic state? That was a big word for me. And it was... I read it a couple times this week in different places, and it kept sticking out to me. Talks about it in the premarital counseling book, The Socioeconomic State. But is that where our joy comes from? Does your joy come from being with your family, which is a good thing? From your wife and children? Maybe your joy comes from going on vacation, getting away from the hustle and bustle. Maybe your joy comes from success in life, being a winner. I don't know how many of you like to lose, but Tim knows I don't like to lose. But we can't base our joy on being a winner or a loser. Some of these things ought to bring us joy, but the only problem with the joy in these things is that it's just temporary. It's not everlasting joy. And thinking back to our text that we read in Philippians, Paul had none of these things, but yet he was still joyful. Paul didn't have family. He didn't have things. He was sitting in prison, but yet he was still joyful. He was rejoicing in the eternal things, the things that we need to be joyful about, the eternal. Again, Paul was sitting in prison, shackled up, no hope, nothing to look forward to, and he would have had good reason to be depressed and down, feeling sorry for himself. But Paul's joy was found in something eternal, something that couldn't be taken from him. He was expressing joy because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Paul understood Paul understood that whether he lived or whether he died, his joy was going to be found in Christ. And Paul writes that it would be better if he died than if he could be with Jesus. Paul writes that it would be better if he died than he could be with Jesus. And so in studying this passage, I've learned that my joy needs to be found in Jesus, not in earthly things, not in physical things. Nothing will bring us true joy but our relationship with Christ and that relationship being the center of his will. We can find joy in things for a period, but it's not long until that happiness, I call that happiness, fades. We can look for joy in all these other places, and they will probably bring a sense of temporary happiness. But I have got to look past the temporary things. We have got to look past the rioting. We've got to look past the disease in our lives. Our joy needs to be in eternal things. The things that will not pass away. The things that will not be taken from us. Our joy should come out of the understanding of what Christ has done for us and giving his life for us on the cross. And I believe that when we understand Jesus' love for us, and that's a big thing to understand that, when we do understand Jesus' love for us and the relationship that he desires to have with us, we, like Paul in Philippians 1:21, can say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul's desire was to depart to be with Christ. That's what Paul's desire was. But he was willing to remain in the flesh to encourage the Philippian believers, the Philippian church. So will I continue chasing joy? Continue looking for joy in the temporary things? What I've been guilty of here lately? Or will I, like Paul, find everlasting joy in knowing Jesus? We as Christians should be the people of great joy. We should be some of the happiest people on earth, no matter what the circumstances are in life. And I have to confess that I am not there. But after studying joy and where true joy comes from, I pray that we as a church can display our joy in Christ to those around us. And if there isn't lasting joy found in us, I pray that we would find that joy by knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'd like to close with this verse that I have up on the screen. And when I read this verse as I was studying it, really impacted me, and I pray that it will have the same impact on your life this coming week and beyond. The verse is verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for, first of all, for Jesus and his sacrifice that he took for us on the cross. And Lord, help me, help us to understand what it's like to have that personal relationship with you, the daily walk of life with you living in us, and the joy that needs to come out of us because of that relationship. And Lord, help us all to look forward to our eternal citizenship in heaven, and help us to keep our eyes set on that and not on earthly things and what's going on around us, and can be discouraging and make us unsatisfied and even scared. But Lord, I just pray that we would find our joy in you and in our eternal home to come. I pray for each one that is here. Lord, I pray that we as a church could display joy to those around us, to show them love and to be able to share that joy with them. And Lord, I just pray for your help. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen.